So today is Father's Day, and the title of today's message is A Man After God's Own Heart. I wanted to blend these two concepts together. We found that when Saul, the leader, fumbled in his leadership, God said, I'm going to raise up another leader. And God said he was looking for a man that was after his own heart. Today is Father's Day, and I want to blend the two together, that God is looking for men and women. But he's looking for men who have a special kind of heart. And of all the 8 kids, David is chosen to become the next king. And so, you know the story. When the prophet went to Jesse's home, the father of these 8 boys, and he knew that one of these 8 kids were going to be the king, he started with the oldest, and he went right down the first 7, and God said, it's none of those. And they said, well, who is it? And he asked Jesse, he says, Jesse, do you have any more kids? And he said, yeah, I have one out tending the sheep. And the prophet said, well, bring him in. And sure enough, that was David. And David became the one that God chose, and he was titled A Man After God's Own Heart. I want to talk about that today. What kind of heart is God looking for in men or women that he can use? There's 2 verses in your notes. 1 Samuel 13, verses 13 and 14. Let's read these 2 verses together. You acted foolishly, Samuel said. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and appointed him leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command. Saul is the one who is presently king, and he's being displaced because of disobedience. He did not have the right kind of heart. David, on the other hand, had something Saul did not have. And so Samuel says that the Lord is seeking people who have a certain kind of heart. And today we're going to talk about that. But I have a quote before we get into our 6 insights. It's in your notes. By Herbert Lockyer. Here's what he says. An earthly father, although the best of men, is only a man at best. He can never be perfect. And I want to set this up by saying this. Men, we are still human beings. We're not perfect. We don't always get it right. It's just a reality of life. But we can have a heart that God is attracted to because of who we are on the inside. And that is the difference maker of men in this world. When you have the right kind of cradle, your heart, who you are in the inside. Let me tell you, that is the prize that God looks for in people. And so while we're not perfect, we will still strive to be the best kind of person with the kind of heart that God delights to come into and to work in and through. So what I want to do today is share with you 6 insights about David's life. 6 simple thoughts, and as he's coined the man after God's own heart, how we can learn from that, all right? 6 different thoughts. Here we go. Number 1, in your notes. The first insight is this. David made honoring God the first priority of his life. Men, if you and I want to attract the blessing of God, make priority number 1 the fact that you will take your life, all of it, and you will seek to honor him with it. That's what God was attracted to in David. There was an abandonment of a commitment that David would seek God as his first priority. Now in Psalm 27:4 in your notes, let's read that together. Words from David. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Here's David's story. He says, I've got a one thing going in my life. It's the first thing. It's the highest priority. It's the best thing. It's a one thing. I'm single-minded. And that one thing is that he would make God the centerpiece of his life. He says, one thing I ask of you, God, and this is what I seek. I will dwell in your house all the days of my life. You know what that means? A man who is centered on God protects the rhythms of the week to be in God's house. He protects the rhythms of the day to spend time in his presence. And God becomes the centerpiece of marriages, of families, of work, of career, and everything is done to honor God. You see, that's what was so attractive from God's view about David. He had a one thing going. It was the priority of his life. Here's a simple slide. Honor God with your life. Men, if you and I want the blessing of God to be poured out upon us, to be the best we can as an individual, in our families, to our kids, to our grandkids, to our church and our community, we make a decision to be all in, to honor God with all the pieces and parts of our life. Number two. The second thing that was attractive about David is this. David had absolute faith in God. There was a high faith factor in his life. Now, the story in your notes, these couple of verses, is about when David, as perhaps a teenager, took on Goliath, who was 9 feet 6 inches tall. He was a Philistine, a mature, he was a warrior, but David took him on. Let's read together those verses. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. David comes face to face with this giant. And he looked at the giant and he said, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. Men, we all have giants. They're different shapes and sizes, but faith was a quality that David had. And when he ran up against something that was bigger than him, his faith was his shield. Make sure you have a faith in your toolbox. Carry it with you wherever you go. And when the giant appears in your life, and it will, repeatedly, sometimes they fade, then they come back. Use faith as a lens with which you believe God will deliver that giant into your hands. Someone has made this comment. Faith does not make things easy, but it makes them possible. It's not going to be easy, but let me tell you, when you have faith as a regular daily outlook on life, it does not make things easy necessarily, but it will make it possible because God is then released to work on our behalf. David had that. Number three. The third insight about David is this. David loved God's word. He loved God's word. Let's read together verses 47 and 8 in your notes. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love. and I meditate on your decrees. Here's David's own words. Here's what he's saying. He learned to love God's word. They are the promises of life. They are the power that kept him going. And he says, I delight in them and I love them. Now here's the challenge, guys. There are so many things to do in life, are there not? I mean, our society is busy. We have hurry sickness. We're on the move. We always have things to do. But listen, David had a secret. And I think this is partly why God was attracted to him. He believed in the value of taking time with the Word of God to read it, meditate on it, reflect on it, and to try and live by it. And he did that on a regular basis. And when you and I do that, something happens on the inside. It creates a platform. It creates a stage. It creates a theater, a place where God can step into and begin to do amazing things. He'll give you an assignment. All because you've allowed the Word of God, as you read it daily or regularly, to become a part of your life. Here's a quote. The more of God's word you know and love, the more of God's spirit you will experience. If you want to have the empowerment of the Spirit of God in your life, we have to get into the word of God and read it and apply it, make it our shield, and all of a sudden the supernatural is released within us. God was attracted to David because he had a love for his word. And the Spirit was then released to work within him. Guys, you and I have to stay hard on this. And life is so filled with so many things to do. But to the person, the individual, man or woman, who takes time to allow that word to become a part of their life on a regular basis, let me tell you, that's the difference maker that will set you apart from the other people in Walton. It's the heart God is attracted to. Number four. The fourth insight about David's life was this. David was obedient to what God asked him to do. He was obedient. Read with me verse 22 in your notes. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. What a testimony. The guy in the book of Acts is writing about David who lived in the Old Testament, and he says, David will do everything I want him to do. David listened to the Spirit of God, and he obeyed when God asked him to do something. Guys, if we want the power and the blessing of God to be poured out in our life, we just have to be obedient to what he asks us to do. And it means being available. Listen, God speaks to those who take time to listen. And the more we listen, the better at it we hear his voice. We then do his will. And God is attracted to hearts that have a big ear on the inside to listen for his voice. Here's a simple little slide, three words. Take time on a daily basis, regular basis, to align your heart with God's. Just alignment. You see, the world is full of people chasing their own dreams, going after what they want, and they're busy and they're moving too fast. God says, slow down. I will speak to the person who aligns their heart with mine. David knew that secret. He was busy too when he got to be a king, but he knew how to listen, and then he would obey what God told him. So, number one, make honoring God your first single priority. Number two, have a faith. Just Faith is your shield, whatever you do, that God will deliver what's ever in front of you. Number three, David loved God's word. Number four, he was obedient to what God asked him to do. Number five, David had a penitent heart. Let me explain that. You know the story. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. This is like major stuff. And he then had Bathsheba's husband sent to the front lines where he was killed to cover up the birth of the child or who would be the father. And it was a messy story and chapter in his life. And David messed up. Now we know that. But here's a key thought. Listen, David had a teachable heart when he had made a mistake, when he had sinned. He blew it. Guys, when we blow it, we've got to own it and then move on. And to have a penitent heart means I'm willing to be teachable by the people around me, the voices I hear into my life of good spiritual guidance. We just need to be trainable guys. You know, for guys, it's kind of a man thing that we got to do it ourselves. It's pretty foolish when you look at the scriptures. Because God modeled through David when David made this bad mistake that a teachable heart, a penitent heart, is so critical of getting back on track. Let's read verse 13 in your notes. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. Let's read the next ones. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Here's what a penitent heart does. They're willing to face it head on and say, I made a mistake, forgive me. Whether it's within the family or somewhere else. And this attitude of being teachable is huge. Guys, God is attracted to men who are willing to own it and say, okay, I didn't get it right, but I'll move on to do better the next time. Someone has made this comment. Repentance is not a whip we use to beat ourselves with. It's a loving reunion back to God. See, when we repent or we have a penitent heart where we change, we're willing to be teachable, we reconnect with God. He forgives us and we can then move on. That's what happened to David. God used David even after he made this very grievous, sinful season in his life. And God continued to use him. So guys, we need to have a penitent heart when we've really messed up. And finally, number six. The sixth insight about David is this. David gave spiritual instruction to Solomon, his son. I mean, David's the father, Solomon's the son. And let me just be honest, we find in the scriptures, David had rocky relationships with some of his kids. It wasn't all harmony. There were some tough stuff that happened. But in this case, listen, David was available to give spiritual instruction. Let's read together verses 1 through 3 in your notes. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. I'm about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong, show yourself a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and commands, his law and requirements, as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. Men, dads, grandpas, understand this. You have an amazing place of responsibility and privilege in your family. You are looked to as a father, grandfather, maybe you're a father to other kids, and people look to you, and what you say matters. And always be ready, dads, to speak a word of spiritual instruction into the lives of the people in your life. That's what David did. He's about to die, and he says, okay, Solomon, here's the deal. The bottom line, you need to observe and walk closely with God and his commands. And so he's encouraging them. And so here's a simple slide. Two words. Speak life. When you think about it, and you have opportunities, even if your kids are grown, or maybe you're in the grandkids, or maybe it's the neighborhood kids, speak life into their life. Maybe it's with your wife. It's with whoever is in your air, in your sphere of influence. Speak words of life. Lift them up. Be always prepared to point people in the direction of your faith journey. And God saw this in David, and I think he was attracted to David's heart. A man after God's own heart, because he was willing to speak life into the people around him. So six simple insights. Number one, David made honoring God the priority of his life. It was like the single biggest focus. Number two, he had a faith factor that was always high, that regardless of the giant in my life, I'm going to trust God and believe that he's bigger to overthrow that giant. Number three, David loved God's word. Men, if you want God to come into your life and you want to be used by him in a powerful way in your personal life, in your family, at your job, wherever you're at in your community, learn to meditate and love God's word. Spend time with it. Number four, David was obedient to what God asked him to do. He was all in. He made a commitment. Okay, God, I surrender it all. Here I am. Take me. And he would do everything that God asked him to do the best that he could. He aligned his heart with him. Number five, David had a penitent heart. It's a heart that is teachable. And if you mess up, you own it. You repent. You turn from it. You keep going, but it's a heart that is soft and supple. Number six, David gave spiritual instruction to Solomon, his son. And let me say, parents, moms, and dads, your greatest opportunity, whether your kids are home or they're grown, when you talk with them, you can drop into the conversation words of instruction and encouragement by speaking life into every opportunity that you think is appropriate. God is attracted to that. Here's my final slide. David, a man after God's own heart. And let me say, it's Father's Day, and this is the kind of dad, the heart that God is after. Acts 13, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Here's the question. When God looks at us, what kind of heart does he see? And if he sees the heart like the heart of David, he would label any person as a man or a woman after his own heart. And let me tell you, when he sees that, he is after it. He is on it. He will come after you because he will use you in a powerful way in your family, in your church, and in your community, man or woman. And that's what God did with David. I want us to close in prayer, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and but I want you to ask yourself, what's my heart look like? And say, God, help me to be that kind of a heart that you're drawn to and that you can use in a powerful way going forward. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we bow today on this Father's Day Sunday. What a beautiful day you've given us. And I pray for all the men here and even the women that we will have hearts that you are attracted to. That our hearts would be so aligned with yours that you would just be magnetically drawn to do mighty and powerful things in and through us because we're all in for you. I pray your blessing upon each man, upon each dad, upon each grandpa, whether kids are grown, whether they're young or they have none, that you will give us all the kind of heart that so pleases you. And so I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer, and you can pray it silently after me. Father in heaven, thank you that I'm valuable to you. And I want to be like David. I want to be a heart that you're attracted to. Forgive me of trying to do life apart from you. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask your forgiveness. And right now, I invite or re-invite Jesus Christ into my life. I ask him to be my Savior. I ask him to be my Lord from this moment forward. And Father, I ask that you will continue to shape and reshape my heart until it becomes a heart that can be called a heart that is after your own heart. And for this, I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.